Hello and welcome back to Mysteries,
Murder,
Monsters,
and Your Moms.
I'm Julie.
I'm Nicole.
It's early.
It's really early. We were just talking about our yard projects. We did yard work all day yesterday. We planted the garden. We planted flowers. We weeded all the flower beds. We finished the fence on the garden.
That's pretty awesome.
And now I'm dead.
It was hot yesterday, too.
It was. I think it felt really hot because it's been so, like, off and on cold.
Yeah.
I'm like,
we went to the coal festival.
Yeah.
Which was fun, but certain parts of where things were, there was no shade.
Yeah.
It was, like, the top of my head, it is a little sunburnt, I believe. Yeah. But, yeah. We want to finish our backyard tomorrow because we did all that work on the back deck. And we never once sat back there last year. Like, not once. We did all the work and then just was like,
we'll sit over here.
Good job. And then never sat there.
Yeah. Sometimes you just got to finish it. Yeah. I know. We have more projects today, but I don't know. We did promise someone a reward for actually helping, which will probably be mini golf and ice cream at some point. So
nice. It's a good reward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I get ice cream too, so that's good.
Right?
All right, do I go first this week?
That is correct.
I have a title. Well, that was disappointing. So have you ever picked a story, like you're looking through like weird articles, it'll be like crazy unsolved things or whatever, and then you like do it, and you're like, this is the dumbest shit. So yes. I fell for some clickbait,
sure. Okay.
Well, and I did want something, we wanted to do something a little shorter, and I was looking for something quick, so this seemed quick, but like, it's really lame.
Okay.
So I'm just going to start with that. I'll try my best to not
Was disappointing.
It was like sitting there staring at, like, coming up with all these titles related to the story, and then I'm like, nope, this is the title. All right, so Frederick Valentich is how I'm saying it. I debated. Born June 9th, 1958, and we'll talk about his demise later. Had about 150, this guy wants to be a pilot. That's all he wants. He wants to be a pilot. Unfortunately, he sucks at it. So he had at the time of his disappearance, I will start, you know what? Why am I hiding it? The time of his disappearance, October 21st, 1978, he had had about 150 total hours flying. He held a class 4 instrument rating, which authorized him to fly at night, but only in visual meteorological conditions. I don't actually know what that means, and I should have looked it up, but I think the reason they're including it is that, like, he's not allowed to fly when things are bad. Like, you're not good enough.
Yeah.
So stop it. And here, it gets worse. So he applied to the Royal Australian... Oh, this is in Australia. The Royal Australian Air Force twice, but was rejected because of inadequate educational qualifications. He was a member of their training corps, but... It's basically like being like the Boy Scouts of like, I can't make it into the real thing, so I'm in this thing instead.
Okay.
So on the side, he's studying to become a commercial pilot, which seems like, okay.
Yeah.
Until you find out that he had twice failed all 5 commercial license examination subjects.
What?
And just a month before his disappearance had failed 3 more subjects. So in total, he's failed 13 tests to become a pilot.
Oh my God. But yet he's studying and training.
But he's still, yeah. So
something's not clicking.
And then on times when he did fly, he's already had multiple incidents.
Oh God.
One was he strayed into a controlled zone in Sydney, like a place you're not supposed to be, which he got a warning for, but could have been prosecuted. Like, you're not allowed to do that.
Our aliens are here. Stay back.
And he also, well, no, he's going to get hit by a real plane.
Oh,
he's flying,
I see,
like, Cessnas and shit. Like, he's going to get, like, you know, like, here's the actual Air Force. Like, get out of our way, you dumb fuck,
basically. Oh, my God.
And then he also deliberately flew into a cloud, which was not allowed. And they'd actually consider prosecuting him. Which would have saved his life, if you ask me.
Oh, my God.
But let's keep going.
I just love that he's like, I'm going to fly into this cloud.
I'm going to fly. I mean, like, and I appreciate people that have a lot of, like, determination.
Right.
Like, I appreciate you are going for your goals, man. But at some point, you should have maybe stepped back and been like,
I got to reevaluate.
Like, I don't know. You could have been a steward.
What about a co-pilot?
Right. Or, like, a flight attendant. Like, you could still be on the plane.
There's other things.
And, you know, in the late 70s, you made pretty good money doing that. Well, I mean, they weren't really looking for men back then, but
right,
anyway.
But at what point in time do you say, like, I mean, the universe is trying to tell me something here.
So, okay. So, he decides to go on a flight because, you know, he's practicing.
That's what he's doing.
And his final destination was King Island. No one really knows why he went, and this becomes somewhat important later. I mean, important in the grand scheme of things, but I don't really think so. He told officials that he was going to King Island to pick up some friends, and then he told other people he was going to get crayfish.
Are his friends crayfish?
See, that was a thought I had. But they found that neither of these things were true. The other thing is he never informed King Island Airport of his intention to land there, which you're not supposed to do either.
Yeah.
But at the same time, people were like, ooh, that's suspicious. I'm like, have you heard about this guy? That's really not that suspicious to me. Like, they're like, oh, yeah, he must have done it on purpose. It was all a ruse. I'm like, no.
No.
He can't even pass. He
flies into clouds.
I don't know what the qualifications are. No offense to the military folks out there, but, like, I don't know what the qualifications are in Australia, but if you can't get into, like, the Air Force, like, what the fuck? Just saying.
At least be able to the point where you can fly.
Well, like, he could have even, like, you can get into the Air Force and not be, like, you know,
a pilot.
Like, Tom Cruise. And
well, that's what I was thinking.
That's
what I
mean. Like, you can be in the Air Force and be a mechanic. Like, you could be in the Air Force and do things that aren't, like, you couldn't get in at all.
My knowledge of Air Force goes back to Top Gun movies.
Yes.
And the thickness of those books.
But I do know that, like, them. I do know that, like, my cousin was, like, in the Air Force, but he was, like, a mechanic. Like, you can have other jobs.
Uncle, my uncle was in the Air Force, and he never flew. That was not what he did.
Right. Yeah. So I guess what I'm saying is he couldn't even get in, like, to do any of it. That's where I'm like, okay, someone. All right, I'll stop yelling and try to move forward with this story. It's not very long. You'll all be thankful for that. All right, so here I do have, this is great. I do have, and it was kind of cleaned up by the folks, the article that I found it in, and they like referenced all of it and everything, so it's pretty legit. So this is the communication. So he leaves the Victoria's Moorabbin Airport at 6:19 p.m. We're going to use real time, not military time. He was flying a single engine Cessna 182L, which, I mean, doesn't really matter. Registration VHDSJ. But it's a tiny plane.
Yeah.
Like, a Cessna is a tiny plane. It's a single engine tiny plane. And he's over the Bass Strait heading south eastwardly for King Island. So at about 6:43, he thought another aircraft passed over him. So he radioed Melbourne. And here is the communication. We're just going to call him Fred because it's easier that way. Fred, is there any known traffic below 5,000 feet? We'll call the other guy. Oh, his name is Roby. His name was Steve Roby. We'll call him Steve. Steve and Fred. Steve, no known traffic. Fred. Seem to be a large aircraft below 5,000 feet. Steve, what type of aircraft is it? Fred, I cannot confirm. It is four bright, I think he wanted to say lights. It seems to me like landing lights. The aircraft has just passed over me at least 1,000 feet above. Steve, Roger, and it is a large aircraft? Confirm? Unknown, due to the speed it's traveling, is there any Air Force aircraft in the vicinity? Steve, no known aircraft in the vicinity. Fred, it's approaching right now from due east towards me. Silence for 2 seconds. There's weird, like, breaks in it. And then it seems to me that he's playing some sort of game. He's flying over me 2-3 times at a time at speeds I could not identify. Steve, what is your actual level? Because, you know, Steve's already like, okay, where are you? And what's going on? My level is 4,500, 4500. Confirm you cannot identify the aircraft. Affirmative. Roger, stand by. All right, so then Fred, it's not an aircraft, it is silence for 2 seconds. Steve, once again, can you describe the aircraft? Because, like, Steve, as it's flying past, it's a long shape, Then he's like another silence. Cannot identify more than it has such speed. It is before me right now, Melbourne. Steve. And how large is the object? Like, he's asked him that three times.
Right.
It seems like it's stationary. What I'm doing right now is orbiting, and the thing is just orbiting on top of me. Also, it's got a green light and sort of metallic. It's all shiny on the outside. Silence for 5 seconds. It's just vanished. Would you know what kind of aircraft I've got? Is this military? Steve, confirm the aircraft just vanished, because you can just tell he's like, I'm done with this guy. Steve, say again. Is the aircraft still with you? It's approaching from the southwest, so apparently it comes back. The engine, and he's talking about his engine, because there's other stuff later that confirmed. I couldn't figure this part out, but he's talking about his own engine at this point. The engine is rough idling. I've got it set at 2324, and the thing is coughing. And then Steve says, what's your intentions? Like, what are you trying to do? And he says, my intentions are to go to King Island. Ah, Melbourne, the strange aircraft is hovering on top of me again. It's hovering. It's not an aircraft. Silence for 17 seconds. Open mic with audible, like, noises from the plane. And that's the end of it.
Aliens.
Obviously. Except... Okay, so there was a search, obviously, and they never found the plane. They searched for days. An oil slick was discovered in some, like, 18 miles north of King Island, but they couldn't determine whether it was from his plane or not. The Bureau of Air Safety Investigation released its findings in May of 1982, stating that the reason for the disappearance of the aircraft had not been determined, but the outcome was presumed fatal. Shocking. 5 years after he went missing, there was an engine cowl flap from a Cessna found on Flinders Island, and it definitely could have been his. Basically, I'm not even going to get into it, it doesn't matter. It could have been his. The serial numbers within a range that would have possibly been the plane he was flying.
And more than likely, he didn't know which island he was going to in the first place.
Yeah, he was, and it could have easily, like, you know.
Misdirection.
Or it, like, floated after he crashed.
Oh, I'm sure, I see.
I'm sure, depending on how the crash went, that Cessna was, like, little. It probably crashed up pretty good.
A million.
Okay, so now the theories. And, like, I went hard in the beginning about what an idiot this guy is, because once you start really, like, digging into this, I'm like, this isn't a mystery. The mystery is the guy can't fly. And someone will explain it all, but it's very interesting. So, suicide, stage disappearance, alien attack or abduction, drug runners, all of these things. I mean, like, a million theories. But if we look a little closer at Fred, we'll find out a couple of things. First of all, Fred was obsessed with UFOs. Like, obsessed.
Okay.
So, he's... Like, think about how that probably clouds his
that's why, like, he wants work to be a pilot.
Again. It's his bias when he's, like, reporting to the guy what he's seeing. Of course it's an alien. He doesn't come out and say it, but he's alluding that it's some sort of mystery aircraft. And I'm like, of course he is, because he's obsessed with aliens. So, like, he's immediately goes,
it's an alien.
It must be aliens.
Right.
You're going to die when you find out what it really is. So... Anyway, he even, his dad, and, like, they interview his dad, and he's like, oh, yeah, that kid was obsessed with aliens. Like, he's not surprised by this at all. It's so weird. And he says that he had another encounter with a UFO, not while flying. Like, he was on the ground.
Oh.
And saw one, and he was like, what would happen if I was flying and that happened?
Oh, okay.
So, again, I told you, I kind of said this at the beginning. Some people think he staged his own disappearance because on his flight plan, he was supposed to fly over this Cape Otway and then go to King Island. And their idea is that he, like, stopped at Cape Otway and got out and, like, went off with his life, which I don't know why. The guy's, like, desperately trying to become a
what
pilot.
What would he do?
Right. Like, and also, do you really think he's smart enough to stay hidden that long?
And Australia is not that large of a... I mean, it's large, but not all of it's inhabitable.
Right, you're on an island. Well, then you got to get off of the island. Like, so, it's just... It's so stupid.
Unless he got eaten by a kangaroo.
And then, again, the two different reasons for his flight and that he didn't file his intent to land. But, again, these are all just... The guy's an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, he probably made up reasons because he just wants to fly.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like,
yeah,
it wasn't nefarious. He just needed a reason to fly. And when they're like, well, why are you flying? He was like, oh crap, I should say something.
Yeah.
Like, all right. So another proposed explanation is that he was disoriented and was flying upside down, which actually would make a lot of sense because that would, the lights would have been his lights reflecting off the ocean.
That's hilarious.
But it's not, because his plane was not high tech enough to be able to fly upside down for any length of time.
Okay.
They looked into suicide, obviously, as you would in something like this, and he didn't. Like, his family's like, yeah, no, that's not him at all. So these two U.S. Air Force pilots kind of looked into it and decided what they think it is, and you know, I will do the UFO thing last, but this is probably what it is.
Okay.
So this is actually really interesting. So he was deceived by the illusion of a tilted horizon.
Oh, okay.
Which he attempted to compensate for and inadvertently put himself into what they call a downward graveyard spiral, which he initially mistook for simply for simple orbiting of the aircraft. Like, he was saying he was orbiting.
Yeah.
Okay. And they said with the G forces tightening, the spiral would decrease the fuel flow, which would result in the rough idling that he reported.
Yeah.
And then the best part, this is my favorite part. Okay, guess what they think the lights were. Venus,
lights.
Mars, Mercury, and the star Antares.
What?
They looked up with an astronomer, and that's exactly what would have been in the sky at that time. And if he was in this weird angle that he didn't realize he was in, he would have seen these lights above him.
What, was he flying at night?
Yes. Like, it was 6 o'clock at night, 7 o'clock.
Oh, okay.
And they were saying, too, it's that weird time where the horizon, like the sun, like it's a weird time and it makes like lots of weird atmospheric things happen.
Right, yeah.
And they said that basically an astronomer looked at it and like, yes, those planets would have been super bright in the sky. And he thinks he's like going one way, but instead he's in the graveyard spiral.
Oh, yeah.
So he's like disoriented about where he is. Like, he thinks the horizon's one place and so he's all disoriented.
Hence the not being very good at flying.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So like, I'm not like going to claim to be an expert, but that makes a lot of sense.
It does. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right.
I don't agree with the government on many things, but this one, okay.
That's what I mean. Like, normally I'm very, you know, I'm pretty skeptical. Like, I am. But like, when I started digging into this, I'm like, no, like, come on. Yeah. Like, seriously. Okay, so ufologists, of course, do have the say in this, because why not?
Yeah, of course.
They have speculated that the extraterrestrials either destroyed his aircraft or abducted him.
Yeah. Okay.
Because, apparently, and, like, how this... I always feel like these things were, like, figured out later, that because of the green light that he mentioned... Well, like, it's a weird time of day. There could be green light for any number of reasons.
Yeah.
But because it was green. And then the group Ground Saucer Watch, based in Phoenix, Arizona, claims...
Oh, great name.
...that photos taken by a plumber, Roy Manifold, on the day of Valentich's disappearance show a fast-moving object exiting the water near Cape Otway Lighthouse.
Really? Plumbers just have cameras in the 70s, just randomly?
Right, and by a lighthouse, like...
Just that's some weird coincidental... coincidental shit.
Basically. So they're just saying that, like...
They're really trying to...
They're like, ooh, this guy says, you know... Because, like I said, when you, like, look at it on the face of it, it's a good story.
I feel
guy
like...
Guy gets, you know, Australian pilot. That's how the headline was. Australian pilot, you know...
Is abducted by UFOs. Aliens.
And then you start reading it, and you're like, No. So, of course, the ufologists, in my opinion, on this one, have to be like, no, we have to push something for the other side. So this guy has a photo.
I think.
And how much you want to bet it's the worst photo you've ever seen?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. It's probably like a whale. It's just like, because it was like kind of at night. Yep. He's not an expert photographer, so it's just really bad. I feel like, though... Jared and I just watched something about aliens not that long ago, and I feel like part of that story, at least the audio part, was in it, and that was it. Because they didn't, I vaguely remember it just being like this quick clip, and they show the audio and then they move on.
Yeah, because if you dig like, even a little, you're going to be like, yeah, no.
No, this guy just couldn't fly.
I love when they do that on shows, though, where you're like, the whole story, please? No.
Well, yeah, and I was like, like, you know, intriguing. And then they just let it go, and you're like, motherfucker.
Yeah, so clearly it was just old Fred who can't fly, but won't stop flying.
Old Freddy don't fly.
Oh, God. Thank God he didn't go pick up friends.
If he had friends, they would have told him not to go.
It would have been like, no, I am not getting in a plane with you.
Right?
He's like that friend that can't drive. You're like, no, I am not getting in a car.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. Like, you still have your learner's permit and you're 35. No. Like, no.
Yes, exactly. Anyway, at least it turned out to be a fun story.
No, that was good. I love it. Okay. I have a title for mine, too. It's called Scary Stories to Tell in the Morning.
That's great.
And I have to thank you because, do you remember that calendar you got me?
Yeah.
I found most of the stories from that calendar.
That's awesome. I love it.
I don't throw any of them away. I just peel them off and set them aside because I'm like, I'm going to need that later. Okay, so this week, rather than telling one long story, I decided to tell a bunch of small stories, and rather than it being dark, it's morning, if you didn't get my reference, so here we go. Okay.
You can listen at night.
You can.
We are recording in the
but
morning.
But I'm going to tell them to you while it's daylight here, because they're so scary. I'm kidding. Just kidding. So, let's travel back to Oahu, because, you know, we were in Hawaii not that long ago, where the Green Lady lurks in... Wahewa Botanical Garden. The lady was once living, as the legend goes, and she was visiting the garden with her child and was afraid of crossing the bridge due to the possibility that a car would hit them. So she took a shortcut through the gulch that was below them. And sadly, at some point, the two were separated and presumably died. After her death, her sadness and despair created an entity that is scaly green, has sharp teeth, and she has long dark hair that is matted with weeds. And this entity is looking for her child. Some stories say that she's looking to replace her child, and then that's the reason why she's seen often behind a nearby elementary school. And then in April of 1957 is when the reported sighting of the Green Lady began. The latest was in the 1980s. So prior to seeing her, it said that you will smell her. Mm-hmm. The aromaticness is said to be the stench of rotting vegetables. And if you and your child are in this area and you start to smell something bad, it's best that you just get the fuck out of there and run. Lest she take your child.
Okay.
I know, it seems kind of fucked up. Like, why would you want to steal somebody else's child when you know what it's like to, you know, also not have your child?
I don't know why it turns you into a rotting vegetable.
Yeah, like, what? How? Why is she scaly green? Is it because she was in a gulch? And, like, that's how, like, the plants revived her? Is she, like, a really creepy poison ivy?
Yeah, like, what's going on with
that? Yeah. All right.
I like it, though.
Yeah.
She definitely, like, I can picture a really cool, like...
It would be a great, like, Halloween costume.
Yeah, she's kind of like the combination of the girl from The Ring.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, Poison Ivy had, like, a... horror baby.
And Aquaman.
Yes.
Yes. If Poison Ivy and Aquaman in his scaly suit had a child, it would come out with black hair and scales.
Yeah.
And plants. Okay, so George Island in the Boston Harbor has the ghost of a lady in black. This legend goes that during the Civil War, the island was known as Fort Warren. Melanie Lanier was married to a Confederate soldier named Sam, who was imprisoned at the island. In 1862, she decided that she was going to travel from Georgia to set him free. This woman was like, I mean, this is good for her, you know? So one night, she traveled from Georgia to Boston. She dressed herself as a Union soldier and armed herself with a pistol and a pickaxe. And she rode her way out into that goddamn island. She did actually set free her husband, but they were eventually stopped by a guard. In an attempt to defend them, she went to shoot the guard, but sadly the gun misfired and she killed her husband instead. Melanie, who was captured, and she was obviously distraught. And the soldiers of the fort begged the colonel at the time, who was in command, to take pity on her, but he refused, and Melanie was hanged. Her only request was that she be allowed to wear a black mourning dress, but this was an island full of soldiers and was like, looked like a POW camp, basically. So the only thing that they had available were black robes. After her execution, it wasn't long before sightings of her started. She's wearing the black robes that she dyed in, and she's pissed. Her ghost chases the soldiers and then grabs them by their necks, which, you know, okay, you're angry, I get it. And then other people state that they have seen her ghost pacing the shore on the island. Bummer, right? All that work just to accidentally fucking kill your husband.
Yeah, that sucks.
So, recently I decided to rewatch the movie Ghost Rider. I tried to watch the second, but it's just so bad I couldn't get past 15 minutes of it. I mean, it's really, really, really bad. I know people say that the Ryan Reynolds Green Lantern movie is bad, but I can at least get through that. Ghost Rider 2 was just fucking unbearable. So anyway... And this story reminds me of that movie. And if you've seen it, you'll understand why.
Oh, boy.
So on Mud Creek Bridge in Elmore, Ohio, it has its own headless motorcycle riding ghost. And you can summon it, but only on one day of the year. So as the story goes, March 21st, 1918, a young man who returned from World War I, he went to surprise his fiancée, but she was promised to another. And I don't know what that means. Like, was she, like, already getting married to somebody else? Or... Because it looks like it said fiancée, so I don't know how you can be engaged to two people at the same time. So if I had to guess, by promise, he probably found her bumping uglies with another man. So, in anger and sadness, he sped off on his motorcycle and accidentally crashed... driving off the bridge into a ravine below, and he decapitated himself during the whole process, which sucks. So, Richard Gill, in 1968, on March 21st, he was a college student at the time, performed experiments in an attempt to investigate the Phantom Rider, like the Ghostbusters.
Oh boy.
The first thing he did was to place a string across the bridge in order to test if the ghost was solid. So he did this, he got in his car, he flashed his lights three times, and he honked three times, which I guess is how you summon this thing.
That's how you summon it. Like,
makes sense.
I'm definitely watching like a 50s movie or something.
I know, right? Which summoned the phantom bike, and it flew by, but the string remained. He then asked a friend that was with him, fucking rude, made him a guinea pig, to stand in the bike's path, and he summoned it once more. Once more... there was the Uno headlight of the bike, and it sped by. The friend, however, was found bruised and bloody in a ditch with no memory of what happened. So I'm guessing that the Phantom Rider ran into his friend. All in the name of science.
No, I have to sit in the car and do the lights thing. Yep. You have to stand there. I'm the only one that knows how to honk and turn the lights on and off. So you have to stand there, clearly.
Just stand there. You'll be fine.
It's fine.
You'll be fine.
It's totally fine.
So these ones are kind of funny. So for those of you who are Harry Potter fans, you're going to love this one. Indiana State University has a haunted bathroom. And yes, it's also a girl. But unlike Myrtle, she isn't crying. Barb haunts the second floor bathroom in Bufford Hall. And the story of Barb is that she was a freshman who sadly died of alcohol poisoning. And another legend says that she died by suicide in room 217, which kind of reminds me of The Shining.
It's always a legend.
Right?
It's always multiple. Whenever it's college campus, it's always like, it's this. No, it's this. No, it's this. Mostly because it's tragic being a college student.
Either way, there's a ghost, and the ghost has a pattern, and the pattern is this. The ghost laughs hysterically, vomits, flushes the toilet, and then screams. And on this campus, she's known as Barfin' Barb.
I bet they don't put her in the tours like they do Sarah.
Oh, no, probably not. We got Moaning Myrtle, Barfin' Barb, you know. She also likes to play pranks by opening locked doors. She turns off the alarms of students in order to make them late, which I'm sure is just the students blaming her for something.
Yeah.
In 1992,
wait, she knows how to work your. Oh wait, 19. Okay, but I was gonna say, like, if we're talking about now, what, she knows how to work cell phones?
Right.
Like, come on, like.
In 1992, an RA in the building heard someone vomiting in the bathroom, went to check but found it empty, and as soon as the RA left that bathroom, the vomiting continued.
Oh, boy.
She's used as a story to, like, tell college students, like, you know, careful what you do.
I was just
like,
gonna say.
Yeah, like, she's more of a warning.
Also, like, if she really died of alcohol poisoning, like, on campus.
It was bad.
That's bad.
So bad. So, continuing with the alcohol theme and ghosts, there are some ghosts that even after their death love to drink, and they seem to want you to as well. Goose River, which is a brand of booze, beer, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So, Goose River Bridge in Rockport, Maine, has their own ghost dubbed the Pitcher Man. The Pitcher Man, as legend has it, is the ghost of William Richardson, who was a villager, and he helped a rebel privateer escape British ships during the Revolutionary War by giving the pirate his own fishing boat. When the war ended, William was said to have walked through the town offering everyone a drink. While crossing the said bridge, he came across three men on horseback and offered them a drink. Well, they were dicks and Tories, which were British sympathizers, and they killed him by hitting him in the head with the butt of a rifle.
Well, damn, he just offered you a drink.
I know. Dicks. That's, like, rude. In the 1950s, a couple walking across the bridge stated they saw a man also crossing the bridge with a pitcher of beer in his hand, and then he vanished. Another sighting happened when two teenagers who were parked at a nearby Lover's Lane saw a man in old-fashioned garb who pushed a pitcher of ale their way, but they were scared and just quickly drove off. So if you need a drink or a drinking buddy and you're in the area, the Goose River Bridge in Maine is your spot and your ghosts. Isn't that funny?
I love that one. He's got a pitcher of beer and he's just like, yo.
Yeah, drink with me.
Don't kill me.
Just like, drink just with me.
Have a drink.
So some people just don't believe in ghosts, and with the reasoning being that there's no actual evidence. And for centuries, people have been trying to find that white elephant that's a photograph. There are a few examples that actually may prove that ghosts are real. And the first is the Brown Lady of Rainham Hall. The Brown Lady is said to be Lady Dorothy Walpole, who was imprisoned in the hall by her husband for being adulterous. In 1726, she died of smallpox. In 1835, her ghost was first seen during a Christmas party, and the description of her was white with empty eye sockets wearing a brown brocade. In 1836, a guest encountered her in the hallway and tried to shoot her with a gun, and the bullet passed right through, as you would imagine.
I thought she was going to show up at the Christmas party and start hitting on guys, like...
Where's my present?
Screw you! I can still find a new man.
Or she's, like, pretending to be the ghost of Christmas past, and she's Scrooging everybody. She was seen again in 1926 on the staircase. But the proof I mentioned occurred on September 19th, 1936, by Captain Hubert C. Provand and his assistant, Indra Shira. The story goes, as they were photographing the staircase, Indra noticed the foggy form of a woman on the staircase, and they set up a camera and took a shot. And the photo shows the old grand staircase, and in the middle you see something that's white, transparent, and looks to be wearing some sort of a hood. There's also something that looks like folds of a cape or a dress, but there's really no definition of a physical form other than, like, it, you know, it kind of is like a human. There's no face or other body parts. And there is a book written about this if you want more details, or you can just Google it because it is kind of a cool picture. Like,
nice.
The next photo proof of ghostly presences is that of the Tulip Staircase Ghost. 1966. Reverend Ralph Hardy, who was retired at the time, visited the National Maritime Museum near the Queen's House in England, and inside is the Tulip Staircase, which is famous as being the first unsupported spiral staircase in England and is fucking gorgeous. So he asked his wife to take a photo, and she did, and they went on their way. Eventually developing this film, he saw the photo. The staircase showed a cowled, elongated figure and possibly fingers making their way up the staircase. At the time of its taking, the staircase had been roped off, and no one was allowed to go up them, so it was empty. This photo has been examined by experts, and they have confirmed that it is real or that it hasn't been tampered with in any way. There have been attempts to recreate this photo, but no one has been successful. In the photo, let me try to describe it to you, because it's really cool, too. The bottom half of the photo is the underneath of the staircase with the steel rails going up into a spiral. The top half shows the wall, and there's some sort of a light source, like a candelabra, but with electricity. And in between, at the bottom of that rail, you see a hand holding the rail, and the arm is covered in a white cape or cloth, kind of like the brown ghost lady. But this one has movement to it, and a second hand is reaching way up the rail. So either there's a second ghost that's hard to see, or this one ghost just has a very long arm. But it does look like it's moving up the staircase, and it's an interesting photograph. So Google the Tulip Staircase Ghost, and you know, see what you think. Like, make a decision for yourself. But it is, this one's creepy. The one of the brown lady's not really creepy. This one's kind of eerie.
I'm gonna look it up.
Okay. So the last photo, and it might just be my favorite, has been dubbed the backseat driver. And on March 22, 1959, in Ipswich, England, Mabel Chinnery had just visited her mother's grave, whose name was Ellen Hamill. And then they were on their way home. She decided to take a photo of her husband in their car. Again, this was well before the age of instantly seeing your photos, so it took some time before Mabel saw the photos. Isn't it cool?
Is it this one?
That's the one.
Yeah.
Isn't that neat? Cool. When she did, she was shocked. The photo in question showed her husband indeed sitting in the driver's seat, but behind him in the back seat shows a woman who appears to be wearing round glasses and a white scarf sitting in the back. According to Mabel, this was her mother, and in the past, she had sat on that side of the car. According to Mabel's husband, his mother-in-law, her last words to him were, "You'll never come to any harm, because I'll be with you."
Aww.
This photo, according to some, is a result of double exposure, but either way, it makes for an interesting picture and discussion. This one, if you want to look, it's called the backseat driver photo.
There we go.
Yeah, and it, I can see where it definitely looks like it is like a double exposure. When you zoom in, it just kind of looks like maybe something happened with the light in the film, and it kind of superimposed him into the backseat.
I really said the backseat driver. What? Instead, I'm just getting Backstreet Boys. Hold on. I just also can't type and do things.
Tis here.
Oh. See? Yeah, I can see how it could be.
Yeah.
A double exposure, though.
Yeah. But it is still really cool. Like, I liked it. I liked it. But the spiral staircase one, I think, is the creepiest one out of all of them.
I agree. I feel like that one's the least easy to explain, too.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, the backseat driver one's cool, but, like, it's not, like, it's definitely, there's some, you know, you could easily see how it could be something with the
this
film.
This is the one, this was the first one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, just it, like, you can tell it has some sort of a form.
Form to it, but
there's
not,
no features.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think the second one's the
creepiest.
Coolest, yeah.
Yeah. And it's never, like, it's the only photo of its kind. It's never been redone. They've tried.
Which, yeah.
They can't do it. They can't figure out how it was done.
It's because she's like, shit, they saw me.
Yeah, it was just like one of those things where you're just like eerily, like, slowly going up the stairs. Like, it's strange. Definitely strange.
Yeah. It's like how I would walk up the stairs right now because my legs hurt from weeding.
That's all, that was the end of mine.
Yeah.
Those are all of my little fun ghost stories.
We're super short this week.
Yeah.
Sorry. Give you a break.
From listening. Yeah. Well, that's life. Things changed here so that my life changes at home.
Yeah.
And then plans change. I'm like, how do you fit it all in? You just wake up earlier.
Right?
That's the so only true. Way to do it.
I was awake at 5.
Ew.
And then I made myself lay back down and got up at 6. But
yeah.
Yesterday, Bees and I both were up at like 5:30. I'm like, my alarm doesn't even go off this early. What is it about the weekend that my body is like, no, no.
Get up.
Yeah. But I'm like, I hate you. I just want to sleep. All I want is sleep. I went to bed at 9:30 last night. I was so tired.
I didn't go to bed until... So, all right. I did something. And it's not like I didn't... I started it a long time when it first came out. And it wasn't like I didn't like it. I just wasn't into it. So I'm giving it another shot. Now I'm like, okay, this isn't bad. But I started watching Peaky Blinders.
We could not get into that show.
And I don't hate it. But I gotta say, the musical choices annoy the shit out of me.
Same. I think I couldn't get past it.
When is this, like, when is the time that this is set in? Like, the 30s?
Yes.
20s?
Prohibition.
So yeah, like 20s, 30s. Like, in the industrial era.
Yeah.
And we're listening to fucking Jack White.
Yeah, no, I had a really...
Nick Cave is your,
like... And I get like, that people, like that about the show. And for
I hate it.
That makes it really frustrating.
It fucks up the whole, like, where's your timeline?
Bees and I tried to watch, like, we watched, like, the first half season, or maybe even the first season. And I'm not saying it's bad. Mm-mm. I just wasn't pulled in. I didn't feel the need to be like, oh, boy, I can't wait to get home and watch more of that.
Yeah.
On the other hand, if we're going to talk shows, I just finished Yellow Jackets.
I don't have Showtime.
It's so good.
I don't have Hulu either. And we just got rid of a bunch of stuff, so we're like, Jared's not going to be like, yeah, let's pay for more. But I think the only reason I started watching it was because, you know, I have a thing for Cillian Murphy, so, like, let's just start there.
Yeah.
And it was funny because one of my old roommates, Brittany, knew this, and that's when I first started watching it because she sent it to me, and she's like, hey, by the way, I started it, but I just couldn't.
Yeah, I don't know. There's something about it. Like, and like I've talked to people who've watched it. Like, I feel like my parents even watched it, but I just couldn't get motivated enough to keep wanting to watch it. I know you don't have it, but for anyone out there, just wait till the entire season of Yellow Jackets is out. It's out now, but like if you hadn't started it, like I wish I would have just been patient and waited.
So you could binge it?
Not all in one, but So usually I watch an episode of something during my lunch break.
It makes
me actually take my lunch break instead of like...
That's fair.
Instead of eating and then just doing work anyway at my desk. So I'll like... And sometimes I still do work where I'm watching the show. But like it's like my way of making myself actually take a break. And so like I could have watched it at work every day instead of having to wait till like Fridays when it came out.
Oh, yeah.
It was good, but I think it would have been better if I could have seen the whole thing, like, start to finish, but...
I can't think of any shows that I guess I'm kind of excited about, like...
Oh, I can't.
I like Interview with the Vampire and the Mayfair, which is... I thought the seasons were far too short. There's only, like, I think 6 or 8 episodes.
I hate when they do that.
And they're not coming back out until next year, I believe. And then there's a new show that they announced, like, in the Anne Rice world, which I don't understand what it is. So that'll be... I guess interesting, but I got rid of AMC, so we don't have it anymore because we don't watch it other than that.
I am excited for Justified is coming back.
I think
back.
Jared is too.
That was one of my favorite shows that I've ever watched. Like, and on the face of it, if you look at me as a human and go, would you want to watch this story about this, like sheriff, deputy, whatever the hell, marshal, he's a marshal. Yeah. In West Virginia, like, you know, and
you'd like, be like, nah.
It was one of the best shows I've ever watched.
Jared loves it.
It's one of the best. I will recommend it to anyone. I don't care who you are. It is one of the best shows I've ever watched. Like, when it was done, I was like devastated. Although done, they ended it well. They like they didn't keep going just to keep going. Like they kind of ended it when when it could have. So I'm interested in to see what this new one's about, like how they're gonna bring it back, but I am excited for that.
Maybe The Boys. I like The Boys a lot. Have you ever watched that show? It's on Amazon.
I hate that show.
It's so violent. It's so
It's
so violent for just like no reason, but
and it's
it just, has a great cast.
It does have a good cast, and Bees gets mad at me because I'm just like, no, I can't tolerate this. It's nonsense.
I love it. It's so crazy, but
no,
it's good. And then like the way it ended last season, you're just like, oh fuck. So now I'm like, well, I gotta find out what happens.
Yeah. I hear you.
Yeah. But anyway. And like I can't think of any movies that I want to watch. Isn't that sad? No, did I wanna watch the new Evil Dead.
Oh yeah, that's right. I forgot that's coming out. Did you see the trailer for the Boogeyman movie? It's based off the Stephen King short story.
No.
Yeah, there's a trailer out for, it's called Boogeyman, and apparently it's a Stephen King short story, which we all know make the best Stephen King movies.
Yeah, no, that's fair, yeah.
Now, I don't want to say that it's going to be great, because it's probably going to turn out to be a piece of shit, but it's from the producers of Stranger Things, and it's based off a Stephen King short story, so I am at least intrigued enough to give it a shot.
Yeah.
But yeah, Boogeyman.
Oh, I guess there's like the next season of The Witcher, which still has Henry Cavill in it, and that makes me happy. But then I'm like, what the fuck's the point if I know that after this it's not going to be Henry Cavill anymore? And I'm sorry.
Oh, really? Liam, I didn't know that.
Liam Hemsworth, you know. No. That was stupid casting.
Also,
stupid casting.
I don't I don't dislike The Witcher, but I'm also not like...
Nobody is Geralt. Except for Henry Cavill. I'm sorry.
Well, it's established now.
But it's also like, okay, listen. It's also like a female thing.
No, it's not that. I don't think any show can have a character that's so important to the story. Yeah. It's not like you can, he's like an incidental character. He is the whole story. He is the Witcher.
Yeah.
Okay? I don't think you can just then like recast someone. After what, three seasons?
Three seasons.
That's insane. And if you think it's going to work, I think you're wrong. Like, I think it's just...
So nobody really knows what happened. Like, everyone was saying that it was right when he announced he was going to be Superman again. And then obviously that's not happening.
Right.
They thought that he quit The Witcher because he was going to be Superman. And then... Other people tell you that he was creating like a toxic work environment because he didn't like what the... So the woman who directs it is well, a woman, obviously, I just said that. But he's obsessed with like video games and keeping the material close to the actual source material, which I think I respect that. Like sometimes the things that I hate, like things that I love watching them on screen, I hate that they... stray from it and then they purposely change it. But I guess him and the director stopped getting along and they didn't really want him a part of it anymore. So,
well, but I agree with that to a point, but then there has to be balance because they're different mediums,
right?
Like,
yeah,
you can only hold to it. Like, and I think if I go into something knowing that I love either the book, I mean, usually not a video game, but generally, like, if it's the book, if I go into it as a movie or a show or something else, I have to think about, if I make myself stop and think about, this is a retelling in a new medium.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. It's a different medium. You have to do it differently because you can't necessarily make it
exactly
the same.
Yeah.
Like, unless you're making 300...
Oh, yeah.
Which is like a comic book come to life. Which is so cool. But that's a very specific thing. Like, mostly that's not the case. So anyway, I'm just saying, like, I understand. But I also think that you have to have, like, there's balance between the two things. Now, I don't think you should change the plot completely or anything like that.
Right. And, like, and nobody knows what really happened or what went down. But anyway, just, like, I don't give a fuck if nobody's getting along behind the scenes. Henry Cavill is Geralt. And, like, and it's not just that I think he's, like, a fabulous actor, because I don't. It's just that him as Geralt does something to me physically that not a lot of characters do, and I like it. So I don't want that to stop.
I just like, it's because, like, it's established. Like, I don't think it's really... How are you going to pick up a new... How are you going to pick up a new... Okay, take that out of it. Take it out.
All right, fine.
How are you going to pick up a new season of something that you've had the same lead character for 3 years... And not have it be weird.
I don't know.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like, that's not...
You couldn't have done that with Supernatural either. Like, there couldn't have been a different dean.
That's what I mean. Like, I'm not saying, like, just this. I'm saying in general, you can't just do that.
No, I agree. But anyway, he's working on a Warhammer movie now with his girlfriend. Because that's stuff that she can do. Because she is, like, president of one of those companies.
Oh?
Yeah.
All right.
Anyway...
Enough of us rambling about TV and movies.
I guess that's it.
Yeah.
We're not here. We're not here next weekend. No.
Well, you have...
I have a birthday party,
and I will be at work, honestly. I have to get back at 2 in the morning on Saturday and then be at work at 10, from 10 to 12 on Sunday. And I haven't figured out what we're doing yet as far as, like, if Bees is going to come back and get me or if he's just going to leave the party and meet me at home because I'll probably need to go lay down.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah, but it's all right.
All right. Anyway.
All right, friends.
Have a great weekend. Your moms love you.